Well, the Newburns never had family reunions. I guess because there wasn't enough of us. The Boyds have a family reunion. I go along. I've never been too excited about these family reunions, but I'd like to see what I have to do to get in on that Haskell reunion. That sound pretty good. Sound pretty good. Patsy and Gwen, thank you for coming along. You've blessed us. We appreciate you being here so very much. And I tell you, Ken blessed our hearts, stirred us up, challenged us, and got our attitudes straightened out. Another thing our emotions don't have to control us. We can control our emotions. Boy, I wrote that down. That was powerful. And a lot of church folks, I wish they'd have been here to listen to that. I'm going to state that sometimes before a business meeting at some of my churches. That's I'm going to remember that. And I tell you, both of these brothers have a tremendous anointing on their lives, and God has used them marvelously to bless our fellowship. And of course, both of them are being used of the Lord in a great way right now in leadership. Brother Don is leading that great church at Irving, Texas, Calvary Temple, one of our premier churches in the Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. And Ken has a great district, New Mexico district, and is leading them on. They've just completed a new office complex there. I'm anxious to see it. And I'm just so thankful that they have been able to come and bless us with their ministry and with their fellowship. Joanne and I love these people. And we love you. If I ever do anything to hurt one of you, I'll tell you what, it's a mistake of the head and not of the heart. If you'll talk to me about it, I'll try to straighten it out, okay? I'm serious. I love you. I want to go to heaven with you. Brother Ken George, come and bless us this morning with a good word of God. Let's welcome. Amen. I love
you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Newbern. Wow. What a blessing we are receiving here, being with you. How rich and tender have been the presence of the Lord all during this camp. It's been just really something special in my heart, and I thank God for it. We appreciate it. I would like for Brother Newbern to know how humbled I am to be part of this team. This is one of the great camp meetings left in America. Not a lot of them left, but this is one of the greatest camp meetings still in existence. And I sat up here a moment ago and thought, I wonder if the people know how important it is to keep this alive. Let's not lose it. Our young people growing up today need this dimension of their spiritual walk. And if we lose it, something that God's given us, we are losing something that is part of our heritage that really needs to be retained. And so I believe that whatever it costs, whatever it takes, please, Oklahoma, keep it going. Amen. We're doing the best we can. We have a lot smaller district, but we have a great old-fashioned camp meeting still, and we believe in it. Our people come in, many of them, there's not even hotels and places to stay. But they come and bring their RVs and whatever it takes to make it. We've even had some tents up the last, that's really something, you know. But they can go tenting for everything else, but, you know, to do it at camp meeting, that is really something. But we thank God for what is happening, and we ask you to continue to work. We love Brother and Sister Newbern so very much. He'll never know how much he's ministered to me, and his friendship means so much to us, and we love them. We here in the Southwest sort of partner together. Whenever we go off to meetings, Oklahoma, New Mexico, the Texas brethren, we get together and fellowship and eat together, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time. Of course, Brother Newbern is our leader, And we're glad that he is an executive presbyter. We're glad we've got him up there in Springfield. Amen. It gives me a lot of comfort knowing he's there, and I know what he stands for. So our movement is in good hands with people like this. We thank God for it. What a service we had last night. Tell you what, brother got me when he got the Good Samaritan climbing off of his beast, kneeling down there in the dirt of that old road, and picking up that person who hated him, that person who didn't want to have anything to do with him, looked down his nose at him, and yet that Samaritan picked up his old bloody head, began to wash the blood off of his face, and love him and minister to him. And then he told us that that was a picture of Jesus who came down so that he could take us up. Woo! Praise the Lord. I thought that was really what God wanted to say to us. And what a time we had yesterday and last night. My, my. And Brother Warren, that's a great offering. And this missions project is on the way. Aren't we happy for that? Praise God. Praise God. I want to say that I appreciate so much your kind, warm reception. You've all been so gracious and so loving and so complimentary. We want you to know that you've been so kind. We love you and appreciate being a part of this great camp. We have quite a few brothers that have pastored in New Mexico that are here now, and we are glad to see them and renews our love and fellowship. Brother Paul Hayden and Brother Billy Martin. Brother Martin was on our district board in New Mexico. We don't know how we let him get away. Brother Jack Manley, Brother Ronnie Lunsford, Brother Jim Pinkard, and any of those that aren't here can forget about ever getting a good church in New Mexico if they're not here to... Well, anyway... You don't win any points for me if you don't come hear me preach, right, brothers? All right. Next time one of them calls me for a church, I'll tell them, were you at camp meeting? Did you? Amen. You that are, brothers, we love you. You that aren't, we're praying for you. Many other dear friends, been enjoying so much. But enjoy right here, the Curleys, dear friends for so long. Dr. George Brazel, what a blessing he's been in my life many years. Brother Leslie Thompson, Brother Clarence Lambert, our district superintendent to our neighbor to the north for a long time. We were there a couple of years ago in Rocky Mountain for camp meeting, Brother Lambert, and it's still going on. Beautiful, beautiful place. Amen. And Brother Ken McGee preaches revivals and ministers all over New Mexico. I better stop. I'm going to forget somebody, right? But we want you to know that we love you all and are happy to be a part of this great time we're having here in Oklahoma. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, get them out. We're going into the Word this morning. We're going to get a little deeper. We got acquainted last morning, and this morning we're going to give you a little deeper teaching. We hope that will be a blessing to you, and we will study along together. We're reading from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Again, familiar scripture you all know and have preached on many times, no doubt. But we hope that God will open something from this lesson that will minister to our hearts. Amen. All of your hearts. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, But yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. I've underlined the last part of that sentence. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When God plays upon his mighty instruments, there's beautiful music to be made when God plays upon his mighty instruments. Two or three times here lately, I have seen articles about something that really fits, and I'd like to just share. You probably have read it also. But the article said that there is a very special instrument, a violin, that is now found in the city of Genoa, Italy. The instrument was a former instrument of Paganini, the great violinist. And he gave this violin to the city of Genoa, Italy, as a treasure for them to keep. And there was one catch to it. That was, it was never to be played again by anyone else. The last hand to touch it was Paganini. And so they took the violin and sealed it in glass, put it in a glass case. And they have an armed guard standing over it 24 hours a day. And people can come by and look at the instrument. They can't hear it. It's making no music, but they can look at it as they walk by and see there is Paganini's violin. No longer does its beautiful tones flow out. The golden music blessing hearts and lifting spirits at the touch of the master's hand. But now it is silent and quiet, sealed in glass, airtight. Take a look at it. That's all you can do. You'll not hear it play. And the articles went on to say, but there is, they have discovered something very serious happening. That the useful life of this violin is about to cease because the special wood that it is made out of is so delicate that dry rot has set in. And it is beginning to decay right there, sealed up in an airtight space. It is decaying. In fact, they say that there's something about the wood. It's made, and it's the kind of wood that needs to be handled. It needs to be touched, stressed, handled. It needs the vibration of the music vibrating in the box and in the inside of the instrument to make it justice and complete if that's not happening. And now sealed all of these years in this glass case with no music, no vibration, no hands upon it, it is withering away. In fact, they said one of these days it will just be a little pile of dust in the bottom of the case unless something is done. I am here to tell you that instruments are made to be played. God intends his instruments to be instruments that he can play upon, that his hands can touch them, that beautiful music will flow from those lives, and hearts will be blessed, and people will be challenged as the Spirit moves. It's very important for you and I as instruments of righteousness to have the hand of the Lord upon us. We are to submit ourselves to him. Romans 12 and 1, you know the verse well. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are to present ourselves. He cannot play upon his instruments that have not been presented to him. He does not command us to give ourselves. He beseech. The word beseech means he asks. It, even a little stronger than that, it's almost he begs for us to give ourselves to him. He does not command us. He just asks for our reasonable service. It is reasonable because he loves us. He has given himself for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 said, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He loved us way back there then. That's proof he loves us. Romans 8 and 15, God calls us his sons by adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I like that. Abba, Father, you all have tried to describe what that really means. I've heard some said it means daddy. It means intimate relationship beyond father. I don't think daddy quite does it. I heard a man pray recently. They asked him to pray, and he stood forth, and he said, Dear Daddy. And I got to tell you, my heart ran a little cold from there on. I don't believe daddy is the word. It's more dignified. It shows more honor than that. It shows the tenderness and the intimacy of daddy, but Abba Father really means something even greater than daddy. It means Lord, God, King, beloved, and yet tender, intimate Lord and Savior. Right? And he loves us so great. And Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 gives us a whole list of things that he loves us so much that they cannot separate us from that love. You remember, death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present, things to come, powers, heights, depths, none of those things can separate us. So strong is his love to us. And I looked up, you scholars, bear with me. I looked up in my lexicon the word present. And as I studied beyond even that, the Old Testament, the word there really referred to something that it says that's almost like standing beside of. And that got me, it took me 2 or 3 days to run this all down. I finally found what it was saying. The word present means that like they presented an offering, a person bringing their offering to the Lord, the sacrifice. They would come and hand the lamb or whatever sacrifice to the priest. And then as they gave that to him, the rest of the presentation was, then he stepped to the side of the altar. No longer did he stand in front of the altar. After giving his sacrifice to the priest, he stepped to the side. And when he stepped to the side, that meant that he relinquished all claim on that animal. From then on, title was the Lord's. It wasn't his. He gave it to the Lord. He stepped to the side of and relinquished his claim. And that's what the Lord is saying for us to do. Present ourselves. Will you give yourself to him and then step to the side of? Now, you notice the offerer did not place the sacrifice on the altar. The priest did that. Also, the offerer didn't prepare the sacrifice for the altar. That was the high priest. The priest was to prepare the sacrifice. Aren't you glad that we have a high priest that if we give ourselves to him, amen, he can prepare us for the altar? He's the one, amen, that knows how to make it holy and acceptable unto God. He's the one that makes our reasonable service alive and real when we give ourselves and we step to the side of. And then God can do as he pleases with our sacrifice. God give us that kind of an open heart. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also, Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4 talks about Moses going to the burning bush and being amazed that it was not being burned and not being consumed. And he heard the voice, Moses coming out and God speaking to him. And Moses answered and said, Here am I, Lord. But can you imagine what kind of preparation God had to use on Moses to get him to that place? where he could use them. He sent him 40 years out there in training on the backside of the desert alone. You see, Moses was educated with the finest educators of that time, the Egyptian way of thinking. He was trained by them, and God had to get him past all of that so he could really use him. Amen? He had to get him. See, Moses tried to do the Lord's work for a long time before he ever went out in the desert. He tried to do the Lord's work, but he tried to do it in his own knowledge and his own strength. You remember he saw a friend of his and an Egyptian fighting, and he kills the Egyptian. You remember that? Not God's will, Moses' way. His way, not God's way. It took Moses 40 years. That stubborn guy took him 40 years out there in the back of the desert before he could really be used of God. Now I know why God put me through some of those churches I used to pastor. Right, Brother Presbyters? Amen. Now I know. Some of those deacons I had to work. Well, anyway, they had to put up with me. Thank God they were sweet enough and good enough that God saw us through. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has to send us through some preparation many times. He has to prepare the sacrifice. Amen. And like he did for Moses, he sometimes has us to present ourselves to him, and then it takes some time of preparing where that he can use us. Amen. Oh, to be surrendered to God, to be used of God. You know, they tell me that Mahatma Gandhi almost became a Christian. But one time in his life, he was very interested in Jesus Christ. In fact, they tell me that he took a ship ride and went from India to London and spent many months with the Christians, going to the services, talking to them, watching them, being with them. Later he boarded the ship and went back to India. And as he got back to India, the people asked him, "Mr. Gandhi, have you converted? Are you to be a Christian from now on?" And I jotted down his answer. Here's what he said. "I greatly admire the Christian's Christ, but I cannot recommend him to my people, for the majority of his disciples are so totally unlike him." That hurts, doesn't it? Imagine what might have happened. Think about the difference of India and the whole world today. If he had met somebody totally submitted to God, somebody that the master could use and play beautiful music upon, somebody that had the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus abiding in them. Amen. What a different place the world might have been. God help us. Amen. We got to be like our master, giving ourselves to him. And then he makes beautiful music. Hallelujah. I don't want to disillusion anybody, and you certainly have the right to disagree with me. Many years ago, when I was first starting out, I thought anyone who disagreed with me was no good. I thought they were rats. They were, you know, you'd find out they're probably immoral. I mean, you know. But I found out that people could disagree with me and still be good people. In fact, I even found out one day they could disagree with me and be right. And that's really the hard part. Amen. But I've had people in my life say to me all my life, "Kenny, is your all on the altar?" I didn't always know what that meant. "Have you put your all on the altar?" May I say it is my opinion that God doesn't require your all. Stay with me. He doesn't require your all. He doesn't require all of your money. He doesn't require all of your time. He doesn't require everything about you. He just requires all of you. Your bodies as living sacrifices. All of you. Amen. And in my text, Romans 6 and 13, we're told to yield ourselves as instruments unto God. Present our bodies to Him. How can I? I try not to run it in the ground. Can I give you one more grandchildren joke or story or truth? My two little granddaughters, we think they're something special. They came to visit us last Christmas, and it was a wonderful time. And we stayed up late at night. We ate a lot. We just celebrated. We had the biggest time. And one of the mornings around between Christmas and New Year's, they were all sleeping in. We'd been up so late the night before. Patsy and I, it doesn't matter. You folks our age know that you're going to wake up the same time. It doesn't matter when you go to bed, right? So we were awake our usual time early in the morning, and we stayed in bed so we wouldn't disturb the kids downstairs, and we were quiet, and we laid there and talked a little bit softly. And after a while, we heard little feet running up the stairs, tearing down the hall toward our bedroom. And I said, "Here they come." And grandmother, being the fair person she is, she jumped out of bed and tore off out to the hall and met them out there. And I could hear them hugging and kissing and squeezing and giggling and having fun. And there I was, still waiting for them to come on in. Finally, I heard one of them say, "Where's Pop Pop?" Now, that's my name. They made that my name. It's not necessary that you call me by that name. I just assume we don't do that. But it's okay for them to call me. "Where's Pop Pop?" And grandmother said, "Ah, that old lazy guy's up there in that bed. Go in there and get him. Make him get up." They said, "Okay." And I heard them, boy, here they come. Drum, drum, drum. And sure enough, Leah, the oldest one, was in front. She outran little Brianna, and she comes flying across the room and lands right on top of me, right in the middle of the bed. And we wrestle, and we're hugging, and I'm getting some big old moogies, and we're having a good time, you know. And about that time, I heard, and I looked, and there was the baby. There was little Brianna standing over there, and she wasn't happy at all what she saw going on. And her big sister raised up and said, "Aha, I've got all of Pop Pop. He's mine. I've got all of him." And the baby said, still over there. So I got Leah over on this side, and I motioned for Brianna. So she comes over to the bed very slowly and stands there. And I pull the cover back, and I reach down, pick her up, pull her up there in the bed, and squeeze her up. She puts her head right there and squeezes up real tight and real close. And then she said something to her sister. She said, "You may have all of Pop Pop, but Pop Pop has all of me." Huh? I said, "I got to use that one." Huh? How long has it been since your Heavenly Father had all of you? Amen. How long has it been since you gave Him all that you are? You don't have to give Him everything, all of your money, everything. He doesn't require everything of you, but He does ask that we present ourselves. He wants all of us. That's what He's asking for. Amen. Then He makes beautiful music when we let Him have the whole instrument. Isn't that right? There are many claims he could make. Two of them are that he loves us. I've already talked about that. Another is that he made us, he created us. If I'd created him, he ought to serve me. But since he created me, I belong to him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The word workmanship there, and I looked this up. Help me, scholars. I find it comes from the word P-O-I-E-M-A, poema, something similar, I hope. And it means, it is the root word for poem, that we use for poem. In other words, we are his workmanship, created into Christ Jesus. We are his poetry, his poem. In fact, I looked it up, and there's only one other time that word is used in the New Testament, and that is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, where it is speaking of the things that are made, his creation. So his original creation and his new creation, amen, are both to be poems. Hallelujah. Poetry. Set the music, if you please. Isn't that what music is? It's poetry that has sang with notes. The poem, he said, you are my poetry, my workmanship, my poems. Oh, hallelujah. Three more reasons why we should present ourselves to him. One is he has a gift for us. 1 Corinthians 7 and 7, every man is given the proper gift. Every man has his proper gift. I won't take a lot of time in that. I think it's referring to the motivation gifts, if you please, the lifestyle gifts. Each one is given a gift. Doesn't mean something we seek for, something he has given us. Some people get it mixed up, but you notice it did not say every man has his own proper talent. There's a difference between gifts and talents. Talent is a natural ability or something, but a gift from God is even better or deeper, richer than that. Amen. His gift, he has a gift for us. What beautiful music he can make with our lives when we give him his gift. Amen. Number two, he has also bought us. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Goes on to say, you're not your own. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. He bought us, he paid for us. 1 Peter 1, 18, you are not redeemed or bought by silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He made us and he bought us, we are his. We have no right to keep from him his property. Amen. We belong to him. We're to give ourselves to him, present our bodies. Number three, he has a plan for you. And I'll give you scripture for that. Romans 12 and 2, one verse over, right? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. the word will there. Perfect will of God, it means plan, our blueprint, that you might know his plan for your life, or his blueprint for your life. It said the word conformed there means fashioned after. Be not fashioned after the things the devil has for you, but be fashioned after the blueprint that God has. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says everyone is turned away to his own way. You know, the spirit of this age is everybody does it their own way. Mr. Sinatra made a fortune singing, I did it my way. Well, I've done it my way a few times too. I got it in a real mess every time that I tried to do it my way. Hello? I can tell you that. But he has a plan. He will do it his way. If we're not afraid to present our bodies to him, he can use us and bless us for his glory. Amen. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing all right. I'm ready for my last point, but can I throw an extra point in? I mean, doesn't really belong, but I'm I got the time. I'd like I remember last fall a team that lost a lot of things because it missed the extra point, right? You could lose the whole game if you missed the extra point. Okay, stay with me on this one. It's a little far reach, but stay with me, all right? When we're talking about musical instruments, most all musical instruments have keys on them. Over here, the pianos do, the organ, keys. They're played in a key, right? You got to know what key you're in. You get in different keys. Okay? So we understand the need of musical keys. And almost everything that God does for us, He wants to guarantee us that He will play in the right key when He is playing upon His instruments. Let me give you the scripture. Matthew 16 and verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. I told you it's a reach. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose. You say, now wait a minute, Brother George, that's not talking about musical keys. Well, that's the best scripture I could find. If you got a better one, you give it to me and I'll use it next time, I promise you. I mean, that's about as, right? That's about as close as I can get. And I might think if it works a little, you got to stretch it a little bit, all right? But the keys, the song of the Lord has to do with sweet deliverance. What's a key for? To unlock the lock, right? And He wants to play upon us the song of sweet deliverance, unlocking the lock. Amen. Setting us free. Oh, no longer bound or imprisoned like the rest of the world, but free and whole and on our way to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. He set us free. Aren't you happy for that? Amen. Somebody's a prisoner. Unlock them. Amen. He said in verse 18 there, he said, God said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. We got the keys. The gates can't hurt us. Did you ever think about why that's like that? I've read for years, I've read that scripture and said, what is the gates of hell? We're supposed to think that's a big thing, that the gates of hell doesn't beat us up? Why didn't you say the demons of hell? I mean, the gates of hell. I've always been on pretty good relationship with gates. Hello? I've never met an attack gate. Have you? Watch out for the gates, man. Why do you say the gates of hell will not prevail? And we're supposed to say that's wonderful? My grandmother had a gate in the, when I was a little boy at her house, that I loved to swing on. That old gate would swing all the way around this way and then all the way back. And I can still hear her now. Kenny, get off of the gate. Kenny, you're going to break it down. It's not made for swinging. But I thought it was. Man, it would swing out, swing around. When I get my little brother to push it for me, I'd do even better. Back and forth. I mean, gates. Why did the Lord say the gates would not prevail? Well, what is a gate for? I finally figured it out. A gate is for shutting you out or shutting you in. And isn't that what the devil does to us? He locks us up. He locks us in or he locks us out, either way. Locks us away from the good things that God has for us, or shuts us in where we're bound and imprisoned and can't be free. And the Lord said, don't worry about it, I'll give you keys. And when the gates try to close, use the key and open the gate. Amen. Hallelujah. And whatever you bind here will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose here will be loosed in heaven, because you got the key. Hallelujah. Take the key and open the door. It'll work for you. The devil's just thinking he's got you bound. He thinks he has you locked up and closed up. But Jesus is saying, hey, I've got you the key. Open the gate. Amen. You can be set free. Hallelujah. The gates make you a prisoner, shut you in or shut you out. But he gives us the keys of sweet deliverance. Jesus used the keys when he met the woman that was charged with adultery. And he said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Peter used the keys in Jerusalem when he said, these men are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Amen. Philip used the keys in Samaria when he went down there and baptized the Ethiopian eunuch in the desert out there, where they found some water for him to be baptized. That's using the keys. Paul used the keys in Corinth when he preached to the Gentiles. The district superintendent called him in and said, hey, what are we here? You preaching to the Gentiles. And he said, brother superintendent, all I know is the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost just like he did us in the beginning. Amen. And the superintendent said, sounds all right to me. Amen. Take your papers, keep on preaching. How about that? Using the keys. Luther used the keys in Europe when he went about preaching the just shall live by faith. Moody in America bringing a revival. Hudson Taylor in China. David Livingston in Africa used the keys. John Hyde in India. And Armin Newbern in Oklahoma. Hallelujah. Using the keys. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Setting them free. There's no charge. That's my extra point. No charge for that one, all right? Amen. My last point. God needs you for more than music. He needs you for more than music. I've got in the top desk drawer of my desk in the district office, I have a little Denison's Vest Pocket Webster's Dictionary, little tiny thing. I've got a big one up in the bookshelf, but that one's so handy. I just pop it out and look, it really cuts right to it. I can get definitions in a hurry. And when I was trying to find a way to close this little lesson to you, I dug this out and I thumbed through there and I turned to instrument. And it said instrument, dash, it had an N for noun, and then it said tool. An instrument is a tool. Think about that a minute. Music is wonderful, but there are times God needs work. He needs tools. Amen. It's okay, and brother, do I love good music. And it's okay to have music in our life, our lives to be a variable music extravaganza as we go and live and preach and minister music everywhere we go. Wonderful. But yet, there comes a time to God says, I need you to work. I need you to be a tool, an instrument that is a tool. I read a story in a book the other day about an accident that happened a long time ago. Some time ago. A passenger train late at night going very swiftly through a suburban part of a city. I and the cars fell over and split open, and bodies were strung out up and down the track, and people that lived nearby heard the crash. Many of them got up, put their clothes on, and went down to the railroad track. And there they saw bodies lying out there, many of them wounded, many of them needing help. They tried to help them as best they can, I understand. Finally, there's one lady that saw, she was wringing her hands thinking, I need to do something. What can I do? And she saw a man standing over in the shadows with his head down. So she went over to him, and as she got over there, she recognized her doctor, her physician. And she said to him, Doctor, why aren't you doing something? Doctor, these people need a doctor. You're just standing here. Why aren't you doing something? Help them. Take care of them. They're dying. They're suffering. Why aren't you doing something? The doctor said, you ask me, why am I not doing anything? You ask me why I'm not ministering or helping these people? You ask me why I'm not doing a thing? I'll tell you why I'm not doing anything. I have no instruments. I didn't bring my bag with me. I have nothing to help them with. I read that little story and thought, man, here we are. We're surrounded by the biggest train wreck that ever happened. Men and women dying all around us. God needs some instruments that he can plug in, that he can use to reach out, to heal, to minister, to care for, to lift up. Talk about music, brother. That's music to those that are hurting when God sets them free. Amen. God asks us in our text, Romans 6 and 13, yield your members as instruments of righteousness. God said, present yourself to me. Make yourself available. I'll use you. I have no other instruments. And if you'll do it, he is responsible to work out that good, acceptable, and perfect plan for your life. God, play upon your mighty instruments. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of reaching out to you. And Lord, thank you for wanting us. You're willing to take us and use us and cleanse us and make us holy and pure and acceptable. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for stubbornly resisting your hand. Forgive us for so many times, Lord, not obeying your call, not giving ourselves totally and completely unto you, dear Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for making us your children anyway. Even when we failed and disappointed you, you still loved us. And now you're ready to use us in even a greater manner. And you really sent us here to tell this group, mostly ministers today, but even the laity that is here, Father, you really sent us to tell them, give yourselves to God. Quit resisting the potter's hand. Let him make out of you into the great blessing that he wants to make you. And use us, Lord, like only you can use. We pray and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Stand with me, dear friends. Amen. Amen. Do you have something? Well, let's receive that message. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We hear your voice, Father. Oh, Lord, we hear your voice. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, we hear your voice. Please minister, Lord, now. Make us what you want us to be, Lord. Help us from this moment on, Father, to totally submit ourselves to you. To quit resisting your hand, Father. You've told us here today that you'd make us into what you want us to be for your glory, Father. And we praise you. We take that message and thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know, after a word like this, I sort of like to find me a place to be alone. The Lord talked about shutting ourselves in the closet. More and more people praying with their eyes open. I still like to close my eyes and shut myself in the closet. Amen. And no one here but us. And we've got some time. We haven't run too long, I don't think. Why don't we just make our way down this beautiful, lovely carpeted place and kneel somewhere alone and get alone with God and give him his instrument today. Would you do that?
Lord, prepare.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, Lord, to me your master man.